And in thinking about this session, it's the Aetna Susan B. Anthony Award, and it has my paper has to do with social ties, and something interesting. In 1970, when I was 19, I came to Washington, D.C. to be a congressional intern, and I roomed at a house that was owned by the National Women's Party. Alice Paul was the head, and she said to me, "Have you talked to your congressman about the Equal Rights Amendment?" And that's my social tie story for today. I think that in thinking about the mechanisms that influence how social ties change our health status, which has been well established for all-cause mortality, we're going to be thinking about things that are not strongly specific mechanisms, but quite a variety of small mechanisms that work pretty much in the same direction. And one of them is in the use of preventive behaviors, and that's what I'm looking at today. Looking at cancer screening for prostate cancer and cancer screening for breast cancer, and they have certain similarities. You know, they're both common in older people. We have made policy directions to try and ensure that barriers go down for those behaviors. They both go up with age. There are, of course, differences, you know, totally different organisms, the experience is different, the mechanisms for seeking care are different. But still, I chose to go on and look at the influence of the relationship of social ties with cancer screening for older men and older women. I'm using the Longitudinal Study on Aging number 2. It's a nationally representative sample with some oversampling of minorities. The particular sample I'm dealing with is about 4,400 people who made it to the second wave, and that portion that was done by the computer-aided telephone interviewing segment. The dependent variables are the receipt of these cancer screening services within the last 2 years. The focal variables that we're looking at, the social ties, are very similar to those done in the Berkman Social Network Index, the church attendance, the being married, and the having interaction with friends, neighbors, and relatives. And I added the adult children since that could be quite important for this elderly population. Controlled for variety of socio-demographic and health status measures. And in this particular analysis, the independent variables and the correlates are measured at wave 1. And the dependent variable, the receipt of service, is measured at wave 2, but it's looking back over that 2-year period. So we've got prior measures to be predicting service use at a future time. I did the analysis stratified by gender because different influences could be important here, and the analyses took account of the survey design. I'm going to skip over the descriptive statistics of the sample. And note that for this particular measure, it was more common for men to have reported having a prostate exam than for women to these older women to report having a mammogram. In general, the women are somewhat higher on these sociability measures. Have you had interaction with family, friends, relatives, or adult children in the last 2 weeks? The stars indicate where there are statistically significant differences, and those differences are particularly striking with respect to interaction by the telephone. I guess women talk on the telephone more than men. So women report greater sociability, particularly over the telephone. On the other hand, men are at least twice more likely to be married than women, and the modal category for women is being widowed. Women were more likely to report church attendance in the last 2 weeks, but not by large margins. These are not enormous differences in the social ties of men and women, with the exception of marital status. Now, when I looked at this, these outcomes using logistic regression, controlling for the lower set of socio-demographic and health variables, you get different results. For women, you see that interaction with friends, relatives, and children has an impact on receipt of mammogram, whereas for men, being married and attending church recently have something to do with having a prostate exam. So for each of them, social ties make a difference for the receipt of these preventive services, but they are it's a different pattern. So for men, being married and attending church made a difference for prostate exams, but not having contact with their children, relatives, neighbors. But while as for women, interaction with friends, relatives, and adult children were positively related to receipt of mammography. Now, except for marriage, women were more likely to report recent sociability and church attendance than men. These differences are not extraordinarily large. We're talking about consistent patterns of relatively small effects. Thinking about how these might operate, I hark back to the research of Deborah Umberson, who's done work on social control and on widowhood prominently. And she's found that wives monitor the health of husbands more than husbands monitor the health of wives. And we see this being quite consistent. For these widowed women who are quite prominent in this sample, we see that adult children are the agents of control. So we think about how do these social ties actually influence health. We might think about mechanisms of control, monitoring, and encouragement. We think about the potential for intervention. We're doing work on prostate cancer decision making, and we're working through mechanisms of churches with a population of African American men. And that might be this research would strongly support that selection of it. Would also strongly support the selection of trying to encourage the spouse, significant others in networks, involve social networks. Now, if you were thinking about encouraging mammography, you might expect then to see mechanisms involving friendships, involving children, involving neighbors and communities, perhaps, would be good mechanisms for doing this. So these would be the sort of recommendations that we would make on the basis of our research. Thank you. We did look at it. The sample is something like 93% white in this extraordinarily elderly sample, and race did not turn out to be important in the analyses, and we did not carry it through in the more elaborate analyses. People who have done some modeling studies have found certainly effectiveness up until 80 and sometimes to 85. I perhaps neglected to say that I narrowed my sample down so that people who were above 85 at the baseline were excluded from the sample. So I think that probably for the women, the whole range of participants have potential benefit from having mammography. Now, of course, for men, it is a more controversial topic, since we cannot definitively say that prostate cancer screening is effective even at younger ages, let alone. And guidelines frequently suggest stopping where you have a sort of an average life expectancy of 10 years. Now, that would go up to, for the total population, around 77 for this.
Do you think that part of the reason for the difference in percentage between the mammography and the prostate exam is something that can be done right there in the office versus having somebody go out? So is it the nature of these recommendations and what people have to do that might make it less known about prostate exams, but the rate so much higher? Is that because it's easy to do all at one time?
That's what I think. It's easy to do at one hand time. The measure in the study is not particularly good. It asks if you had a prostate exam, which could be a variety of things, but I think that it's just so easy to be done. No, you don't. Excellent point.
Thank you so much.